President Obama famously promised a pivot to Asia in 2013. A few other issues got in the way, but as 2014 gets underway, there's no question that Asia, and China in particular, remain hugely important to American foreign policy. For a look ahead at what we can expect from China in the new year, we turn to Kaiser Kuo and Jeremy Goldkorn. They're in Beijing, and they cover all things China in their weekly Seneca podcast. I asked them about the recent tensions between China and Japan over those disputed Pacific islands, Beijing's unilateral creation of a new air defense zone ruffled feathers in Japan and in Washington. But Kuo and Goldkorn say they don't see this issue re-erupting anytime soon.
I'm actually cautiously optimistic about it. I think that already you've seen quite a bit of calming down just in recent weeks.
Bear in mind that despite all the screaming headlines about China and about stuff going on in the Pacific, generally cooler heads will probably prevail both in the United States and in China and in Japan. I don't see that in 2014 anybody has it in their interests to make a lot of trouble in this region.
So that air defense zone was nothing more than a speed bump, according to you guys. So take a look at this pivot to Asia by the Obama administration. How do you see this rebalancing of U.S. foreign policy, this energy of this foreign policy now?
I think it's pretty rare to meet somebody in China who doesn't see it as some species of containment, whether they're like a think tanker or just an ordinary guy on the street. But, you know, obviously as an American, I think I know what containment would actually involve, and this is not containment. But still, I think that it was kind of poorly branded when it was rolled out as the pivot. You know, if the Obama administration had really intended to be, as it said, an economic strategy primarily, then, you know, why did they showcase it with its announcement with, like, military moves, you know, stationing, I think it was like 2,500 Marines in northern Australia? It hasn't been well packaged, that's for certain, from the Chinese perspective.
Jeremy, I'm curious. I mean, what concrete forms do you think this pivot's going to take in the next 12 months?
I think that's very difficult to know. I mean, the term pivot was coined maybe more than 2 years ago when the whole situation in the Pacific and in East Asia was very different from what it is now. I don't think there's a lot of certainty from the American side what the pivot means anymore. But what I do think is a reality that people in the United States will have to get used to is that China is going to be a more robust actor in the Pacific Ocean. China's made it quite clear that that's what they intend to do. And I don't think anything the United States does will be able to stop that.
The fact is, America always has been a Pacific power. It will continue to be a Pacific power. China is perfectly cognizant of that. I think that it won't take on the kind of priority that perhaps the Obama administration suggested with that phrasing. The rebalancing was the new language that they introduced after the pivot went down like a Led Zeppelin.
One issue in China that the U.S. news media have followed more and more in recent months is the environment. I mean, we read about the atrocious air quality in cities like Beijing, but also soil pollution and food safety and industrial safety. I always wonder when China's economic prowess is going to come to loggerheads with environmental realities. Do you think 2014 is going to be that year?
Well, I think it already has been the case for several years that environmental issues have been at front and center of both public awareness of issues in society and also the government. But this is not really that different from the United States or Great Britain. At times of great economic upheaval and economic development, the environment does become a big concern. And it certainly is in China.
I would say that 2013 was really the signal year for this. This may have been the turnaround year. It was the year when you really saw public opinion. I mean, because of, you know, the robustness of Chinese social media, when air pollution especially became the issue, it became something that many of my Chinese friends who didn't concern themselves so greatly with it, suddenly it became the front and center issue for them. So we're seeing actually not just increased environmental consciousness on the part of ordinary Chinese people, but also we're seeing civil society start to coalesce around this as well.
So you think 2014 might be the year that those environmental activists really start to bring some pressure to bear on the government?
Yes, I do.
Now, I don't know if you guys can answer this next question, but it's about transparency and surveillance. In China, there's little transparency, lots of surveillance. But now we know from the leaks of Edward Snowden that the U.S. has just as much, maybe more. So where does this leave China in this big global debate?
Well, it's quite complicated because, I mean, I think the big difference between China and the United States is perhaps in the United States, the surveillance is better and of higher quality. but in China, the penalties for getting caught doing something wrong are graver. Where does this leave us? I don't know. I mean, it does make it much more difficult for the United States to criticize other countries for certain practices.
Finally, I want to ask you both about Dennis Rodman. His trips to North Korea have gotten plenty of attention here in the U.S., but what's the feeling from Beijing about, you know, not just Rodman, but events in North Korea? And I'm thinking, of course, about the recent execution of Kim Jong-un's uncle, the number two man there in government.
Yeah, Jong's execution, I think that really catalyzed a lot of people here. There had been a growing sentiment among a lot of my friends here in China. The metaphor I'd often heard was that we'd raised this pit bull in the backyard and it started to bite the neighbors and make all sorts of trouble. And there's a lot of clamor now to put it down, or at least to cut ties to the board, to set it free, or to, you know, to put it in the car and take it somewhere far away.
Kaiser Kuo and Jeremy Goldcorn of the Seneca podcast speaking with us from Beijing. Thanks very much for the look ahead.
Thank you very much, Marco.
Thank you, Marco.